ready for 2023. In January, Into the Apex will return to the historic Daytona International Raceway for the Rolex 24 for the biggest road show yet. Porsche, BMW, Cadillac, Acura. Who will begin the GTP era victorious? Follow IntoTheApex.com for trip details and meet up with the show live from Daytona Beach. Where real and virtual motorsport meet. From the ITA studio, to the paddock, to the sim rig. Pull up a chair, pour a drink. This is the Into the Apex podcast.
Into the Apex podcast.
Back on Into the Apex, Bradley and Tyler in the main studio in North Carolina, and Rob Gregoire joining us from the Canadian HQ. And here in the first half, we've got a first-time co-host on the show. Miles Crabb has been racing with us for some time now on our Sims team, our Sim side of things, Mad Sim Racing. And he's here, I think, at a perfect time. He got a lot of attention over the past week in the Majors Speedway 500. We've talked about it so much here on the show. I talked about it quite a bit in a little monologue on the bonus content last week. And on that, I said that the Dallara IR01 is our car as iRacers. That is ours. You can't take it away from us. There's no exclusivity deal because we are the exclusivity deal. And then I wished the Majors 500 or the Major Speedway 500 well. And a successful event. Bradley did not participate in this, but the three of us did, Rob, Miles, and myself. And Miles in the top split for that event. Well, actually, Rob didn't compete. That's a whole other story.
Hey, don't eat. Just shut up. Right? Just shut up.
Because Rob doesn't know how to read directions.
Oh, I just...
We might get into... I'm just going to... I'll stop it there. I won't die.
Yeah,
I won't,
let's just let that go.
I'll take the finger out of the open wound, and we might get into it. We might not. But... The reason I had Miles on is, well, there's two reasons. Number one was the Speedway 500 finish, which made its rounds on iRacing media. Number two is Miles is an educated engineer from Alabama, University of Alabama, right? Roll Tide?
Roll Tide. So I need to specify something. I'm a software engineer. I'm a fake engineer, as my ME friend would say. We don't actually do any engineering. We just play with computers and things happen on the other side.
But you do engage in that in motorsport. Am I correct?
Yes.
And that is one reason to have you here besides the Speedway 500 finish.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I've watched a lot more of the YouTube videos than listened to the podcast because, like, hit the highlights and all that. But, like, I've kind of been waiting to have a reason to come on here.
it all kind of came together. So I want to start with it's kind of putting a bow on the Dallara IR01 Indianapolis Motor Speedway iRacing conversation that we've been having. It's even though the month that we're right in the thick of the month of May, it is a relevant conversation. But on the sim racing side, I think it is time to kind of start to move on from it this year and maybe look to the future. And that's what we're going to start doing on this episode. So to set the stage for this, I saw video clips of this and somebody pointing out the finish that you were in on iRacing Reddit just randomly, and that got my attention big time. I saw it on Twitter after that. It got a lot of hype in the broadcast. It got a lot of hype within the majors. So one thing I say a lot on the show is I don't want this to be a Mad Sim Racing. I don't want it to be our sim team on a podcast because only, you know, 30 guys will want to listen to that show. So you happened to be on our team, and we were really pumped that you got that result. But I think the fact that you were in that finish, you were in the top split, you had a pretty great view of what this event was. To me, that's the important reason to talk about it. So I want to say that. But really, I want to open it to you to kind of set the stage for what this finish was like in your point of view, to kind of paint the picture as best you can for those that didn't see it. How it came to be that you finished second in the top split of the Speedway 500, and you were not second going into half of the last lap.
No, I was sixth on the back straight. And I'm going to be that person and say it went exactly how I planned. But no, really, I knew from the first practice lap that P1 was, I don't know how Challenger won the race. Like, there's no reason why he should have won. Like, there should have been enough draft to pass him. So for people who weren't in the practice sessions, who haven't driven the IR01 at the Speedway, in qualifying, your max speed was 246 gear limited, and your min speed was 238 in the middle of the corner, if you did it perfect. The odd number corners is 238. It was like 233 coming off the even numbered corners. In the race, in the draft, the leader did 246, second place did 250, 55, 54, and third place was 260 gear limited at the end of every straightaway.
Wow.
So the knock-on effect of that was whoever was in third should have won the race, and the pit strategies were just all over the place. So with 40 laps to go, somewhere in there, we had somebody miss the apron and jumble up the lead pack, and I ended up in the lead for the last four laps of a fuel stint. Mm. I burned two extra laps of fuel in four laps. Like,
Jesus.
It was partially, you know, I think it looked good. The middle part of the race, I don't know how exciting it was. I haven't actually gone back and watched the whole thing because it's a 3-hour race. Mm. But we were all just fuel saving. It was like one of the boring Talladega races.
Yeah.
But it was very much setting up the finish and being it somehow every single caution fell on a fuel window, like perfectly. And then yeah, at the end, once I had my fuel number, once I knew I could go to the end, it was get into the top five, stay in the top five. And I led into the final pit stops. Somehow Challenger came out 2 seconds ahead of us. He's a pro driver. He's an alien. He does that. And the last 25 laps, me and his teammate were shake and bake, swapping the lead, A, to make sure nobody behind us passed us, and B, trying to draft ourselves 10 miles an hour faster than he was down the back straight. And we would have come into the finish. Whoever was in the lead was going to pick up his draft and either win or finish second. Because 1.4 seconds back, you pick up 5 miles an hour of top speed. So it was that cycle of who can get to the front. And I wanted to catch him. So there was like one time I backed off and didn't pass Abate into the corner. And everybody in front of me was named Christian, so I have to go by last names. And then Wayne, one of the good dog bear guys, got by me and then shuffled back. And then it was like, no, we got to shuffle back. You know, I have to be first or second. This is not going to work well. Wayne hit the curb and with 6-7 laps to go and spun in front of me. And I stabbed the brakes and he had saved it, but we were coming up the track and his butt was in front of me and I just barely tapped him and finished him off into the wall and wrecked the hell out of his car. And then that set up the finish, which was a I remember the green flag coming. I remember everybody on Discord doing Days of Thunder and Talladega Night quotes. And then I remember green flag. The next three laps are kind of just fuzzy. I had to go back and watch. I've got notes up on my other screen to remember how the race went.
Yeah.
And then on the last lap, it was the laps 4, 3, and 2 were just defending third place. Like the leaders would go two by two and you would just fill in the gaps. And the weird part about how the drafting was working was when we're all lined up, we all run the optimal racing lines. So we're all out by the wall. So if you wanted to pass anybody in the middle of the race, you had to go around the outside. Mm-hmm. You had to send it around the outside, cut them off, hold them down, come up out of the corner, do it for the even numbered corner. And then when you come up, the leaders would go to the wall and you're hung this other guy out on the inside. You'll pull yourself forward. I did that like four times to people that I didn't trust. Yeah. And on the last few laps, everybody went to the inside to defend. So the entire mojo of the race inverted itself. Mm. So it was the reason it was such a good finish was suddenly you had people who had not been up at the front that were trying to overtake the guys who had been up at the front and had figured all this out. And then on the last lap, it kind of just came all together to be, you know, 30,000ths back to third place and second and third place tied. And fourth place was in the wall, 50,000ths behind. And, you know, I was in seventh or sixth on the, and going through the, from two to three, bouncing off of people. So, you know, the start of the last lap, I was fourth because Morton had gotten by us. And I went to the inside to just, I don't know why. I should have gone to the outside, but I went to the inside and coming off of two, he squared up the corner to get a good draft. And I was understeering and like full lock, lifted out of it, trying not to kill him. Mm. And we touched and both saved it. He never lifted. I had to lift and catch it. And then I caught it in the middle and we were four wide going down the back straight. and Drew, I don't remember his last name, hits the wall coming out of two and hits me and bounces me. And I scare Ryan and Tom crash on the inside. And we all collect ourselves. And coming out of three, I got too cute. I could have won this race.
Like, I believe it.
Exactly.
I believe it.
This went exactly how I wanted it to go. And I could have won this race, but I hadn't been around Drew. I didn't know how good his car was. And the thing was, there were a lot of people with fast setups that were trash race setups in this race, but you could, you know, that is the draft. You couldn't really get by them, but you could identify them because they could never turn into the apex. So coming off of three, I lift. Like, there's a quarter second lift to zero throttle and back into it. And that I'm trying to get a gap between me and Drew so that I don't catch him in the middle of the corner. Cause if I do that, I have to lift. My plan is full throttle from the exit of turn three to the finish line, mm-hmm. hell or high water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, he turns in and his car doesn't turn. And I'm like, well, this is easy. You know, hold it to the bottom, full throttle, come off, leave him enough room to not wreck himself and just find the closest car, get behind it, find the second close car, get behind it, pop to the inside and cross the finish line. And of course, as with every time when there's an amazing, like hard finish, I don't know what, like exciting, exhilarating yeah. finish. What are the first words that come out of my mouth in Discord? Fucking shit, I should have had that. Like, the reason we crashed after the finish line is because I'm looking at relative to figure out yeah. where we finished.
Did I win? Like, well, I mean, right, that like, that was one thing. So I'll give a small summary of my event. I barely missed top split with you and some other of our guys.
And do we want to bring this up? I did not bring this up in the post-race interview because I was the only one that got interviewed, and I did not want to drop it on the announcers.
I took what was called the high road. I don't want to make it a controversy, but I was in the bump day qualifying, which was amazingly fun. But I was in the pre-qual. I was bump day to match the Indy 500, and I was the last bump spot. But the session ended before one of the last people could qualify. So that person was given my spot, basically, in a nutshell. And I was told that his first couple laps before the session ended were, on average, going to be higher than mine. So I heard that, and I took it for what it was. I mean, if I didn't deserve it, I didn't deserve it. Either way, I didn't make a big stink out of it. I respect the majors. I will say this to you guys. I don't think I told you guys. I got a private message, apology, acknowledgement from Mike from the majors, acknowledging this and thanking me for basically not being an asshole, which I guess I could have been, but I'm okay.
I think you should have been. I think you should have did it. It's well, a good thing it was.
Rob, you just
Rob's a little, just for your old buddy Rob. That's
Rob. Rob's
for a little, your old pal Rob.
I know. Well, Rob, I was going to let you off the hook, but since you're going to drop that, I'll make an interlude, and we can.
I'm not. We're not
okay.
doing that.
All right, fine.
Just saying. Just
Rob didn't get to race because he didn't do enough pre-practice laps that are in the rules.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
it's like 8 laps short. Yeah,
Rob is
like
sour.
Rob's
a sourpuss.
Yeah, Rob doesn't read the rule book. But anyhow. I acknowledge that happened. It was frustrating in the moment, but I will say, so to get back to my session, because I was in second fiddle, I was one of the top three drivers. I led a lot of laps, and I was competitive to get one of those coins. And when I realized I could get one of those coins, they do challenge coins for the podiums and all splits in the majors, I was a little bit excited because I don't think I would have at all gotten that in the top split. But I ended up about a quarter of the race left. I was in the lead, and somebody, the P2 car, tried to pass me outside into turn one, came down, and basically took me out, and that was it. So I was no longer racing, and I was sitting in my comfortable recliner, poured a glass of scotch to console myself, and I put on the top split broadcast and watched Miles and the top split drivers finish it out. I wanted to at least be somehow connected to the event because I was so hyped for it. And I had a good time driving it. I really did have a good time in this car. But watching the finish that Miles just described, regardless of whether Miles was racing with us as a sim team or not, I mean, I was sitting there, edge of my seat, just going nuts for the finish of this. And I was, one thing I will say, and I want your comment on it for the top split, it seemed like right to the very end when I tuned in, I don't know how it went, you know, for the first half and a quarter of the race, it seemed like there was a lot of pack racing, more than maybe the traditional IndyCar Dallara IR18 offered. It was a little more of a pack thing with more cars, because I feel like in the long run with the traditional IndyCar years past at Indianapolis, people wear their tires differently, can't make the corners as effectively and can't apex the corners, and they start to get aero push and they are a little more separated. It's, you see fewer cars in that final lead pack.
Yeah, that's for sure. I've done the official 500 three or four times. I forget now. Best finish in that was second as well. So, you know, like whatever. Yeah, the difference is the Indy car gets slower as the run goes on because you wear the tire fall off is greater than the fuel burn off. I say that most of the time, it depends on setups and whatever, but generally that's true. Our one fastest lap was the last lap. If you had no fuel in the tank, that's as fast as it would go. So, but there was more pack racing, but it was interesting in that there was always two packs. There was 15th and up and 16th to 33rd.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
Because I want to point, like, I was not the only Mad Sim guy in top split. Cody Richardson and Andrew Koska made it. In fact, we qualified, like, within 5,000ths of each other, something stupid. It's almost like we were running the exact same setup that I'd put.
We'll talk about that in a second, actually.
200 laps into doing 4-lap sprints. And then I figured it out in the session before. Anyway, I can talk about that later. But it was kind of funny in the middle part of the race, because me and Andrew were always like the last two cars of the lead pack, because we were fuel saving. We were 10th to 15th pretty much until the end, until Andrew got taken out. But as soon as you went behind like 16th, I don't know if it was setups, driver mentality, I don't know, talent level. It wasn't talent level. Cody was stuck back there, but he was stuck. Like you would accordion on the start, and 15th was always like the worst.
Yeah.
Whenever 10th to 15th, it was like slam the brakes on the front straight as the green flag comes out. So, you know, they'd lose a second. If you got 1.8 seconds back, you had to run faster than the leader to catch the lead pack. And if you're in 20th, you're not doing that. So you'd end up with the lead pack and then the second pack. In normal Indy races, cup car, Indy car, pretty much anything on a flat oval, you pack up, and then after the first or second green flag pit stop, you end up in like packs of two or three or single cars just doing laps. And that never happened, partially because we always had a caution.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, the middle part was a caution fest. There was a section in the middle of the race when some guys stayed out and other guys pitted, and they had always been running 20th, and they're now first through eighth. And the next three cautions were just them eating shit because it's been understeer city the whole race. They get up to the front and it's immediately oversteer. Like when I was running mid pack, it was full stiff rear bar, full soft front bar, lift every corner. Like the car would not turn if you were over 240 miles an hour. Mm. You had to lift pretty good and roll into it. It was fine because you suck up, and it was fun a little bit, save a lot of fuel. And you could kind of choose when you wanted to just go. As soon as you got to like fourth, you had to flip the bars immediately because the car just tried to spin out.
Yeah.
It was like, there was a magic point where it gained downforce. You stopped being a drafting car and turned into a corner car. And that was where every time somebody who had not experienced that got into that position, insta spin, hit the wall, caution. And yeah, that took out, it was a really interesting race. And yeah, it did stay packed up, but we tried our hardest not to pack. There were people coming at, like, you had to stay in the access lane, exit of pit lane, and people had never practiced it, like trying that hard, drove in the middle of the lead pack.
Oh, no.
I was lap 70 or something.
Oh no.
One time I came off the corner, it was just a parking lot of cars just stopped in the track. And half of them were people who just come to a stop because cars are bouncing. And so that's another thing that I knew was going to be bad just from practice. If you break any part of the car, it bottoms out and you can't steer it. Mm. Like, braking doesn't do anything, accelerating doesn't help, and it doesn't turn. So if you hit the wall exit of one of the corners, you're going to just go to the inside and then hit the wall of the next corner because you can't do anything. But we had, I don't know, 15, 16 cars running at the end. It's more than I expected.
Yeah, it was respectable from what I could see. I mean, so the entertainment value of the finish, the finish is of, you know, something to view and observe as esports entertainment, sim racing, iRacing entertainment, was a success. It made its rounds. I think I have some clips and images up at madsimracing.com as a inside in the house post, if anybody wants to see that didn't catch it, as a wrap up, I guess, of this type of car, this type of track, after running the Dallara IR18, the traditional Indy car, and not really having that this year. Did this scratch the itch? Was it better than in years past? Where did we stand on that? Rob, I'll even accept your comments as somebody that thought he was going to race this race. But
I don't know. I'd rather race the normal car, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm asking.
I think, based on what I watched, because I watched a lot of the different splits in majors, because I follow all the different channels between the Atlantic and Pacific regions for what they do their broadcasting on. And it seems like it went pretty well. Like, I think it was a success.
I would second that. I think it was a success. I mean, it scratched the itch for me. It was different, but it behaved uniquely, but it was close. And then, you know, you had to work the gears in the corners. It was similar. It was a Dallara. It sounded different and it behaved different. What do you think, Miles, as somebody that's been on iRacing for quite a while?
I think we should go back to the 2005 version of the IndyCar myself, but that's just me. it was fun.
Yeah.
If we did it again next year, I'd do it again.
Mm-hmm.
It I don't know that it scratched the itch, because it wasn't an Indy 500.
Yeah.
Because there is a little, it was like a Daytona Indy 500 in a way. There was no way to make that car fun for slow guys. You had to have some level of patience and talent to not just die.
Yeah.
Especially in qualifying, especially getting up to speed and like going, if you didn't know where to start, you were going to be lost. And you could see that in the qualifying order for the majors. There was the top 20 ish were covered within 50 thousandths of a second. And the next five were covered by a 10th of a second. And then the next, 40 were a full second. So that there was the guys up the front that had control over their cars and speed and were going to compete. And then like even second split, even the guys that were a couple tenths off, y'all finished before we did. Y'all did a better job of not crashing probably, but that's the y'all are good enough to like finish the race and not die.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, even if you did get taken out with a quarter of the race to go or whatever, that race was hard.
Yeah.
There was a point in the caution fest in the middle where like my eyes glazed over under the caution. Cause the first half had taken so much focus not to literally just run into the car in front of you.
Yeah.
That, I got a second win in the second half. Cause it was like, oh, I can win this. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was as soon as I got to the front and realized how good the car was compared to everybody else, it was, okay. Yeah. I need to focus on this cause I can like do something. But that would just, if that had gone green through. So most Indy 500s, you have like eight cautions in the first 40 laps and the last 160 are green.
Correct. Yeah. That's been my experience.
If it had done that, like that would have been hard.
Yeah, I was worn out because, and Rob, I'm sure you knew this just from qualifying. In this car at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, if you don't start to turn the wheel left before you traditionally think you would in the traditional Indy car, you're not going to go flat through the corner. I quickly learned that if I want to make it through the corner flat or as good as possible and get a good run, I had to turn that wheel left coming off the straight into the short chute way quicker and way more precisely to get right where that white line is in the grass and the curbing. Or I just wasn't going to make it. I was going to have to lift to not slide up into the wall. And I mean, you get that with the IR18, but with this IR01, it's more of a brain test. It's like one of those apps on your phone that you try to keep your brain sharp, and it's much more difficult in that way.
Yeah, there's just times where you said like just the IndyCar, like when you're racing around there, like it just feels like it's made for it, right? Like this car, it kind of just felt like there's just times you're driving it where you just kind of feel it was a bastard car. You know what I mean? Like it was just slightly, would just kind of like its characteristics could just kind of switch up on you and if you just weren't handling it right. So I just kind of felt like I was all like, definitely on edge with it in qualifying for sure.
If you guys were iRacing, would you do in the next year, if Motorsports Game doesn't go ass up, would you in 2024 do some kind of official event in the same, off brand, here in America, the Walmart, it's the Sam's Club. It's the Sam's Club brand of the Indy 500. Would you do that as iRacing in 2024, assuming you don't get the rights back with this car? Since they made the decision to take this
over. I'll come back to Sam's Club.
You would do it?
Yep.
Well, fuck Rob, you'd at least be allowed to race.
You can think so anyway.
Give it credit though. This is Kirkland brand. This is a little bit better than Great
is.
Value.
I will say it is Kirkland. It's the Costco brand. Yes.
It's the official part of that. A league? Like if we were like, hey, let's do an IR01 oval league. I'd do that. There's certain, it'd have to be the big tracks, Pocono and Indy. Like Iowa would not be fun.
No,
this thing.
No.
But once you get it, a special event, yes. As a special event, I would participate as like a 12-week series. No chance in hell,
right?
Because it's going to end
that's
up.
How I feel about that.
It's going to end up with, like Silver Crown or the USAC asphalt sprints. You're going to have, it's going to be like them way back when, where there were nobody. There were two guys that knew what they were doing at the front, and then third through 15th, if there were 15 cars in the race, all just wrecked constantly. I fear that's what this would turn into. Because y'all are talking about it handling and qualifying. The car did three different things in the three different sections of the corner, depending on if you turn too much, turn too little, like looked at it cross-eyed, like it would, you turn in, and if you understeered, you were good. If it started to rotate, just throw that lap away because you're going to miss it by 5 feet and have to catch it. And it was, that car was weird.
Yeah.
But weird and good. Like this is a kind of car that I would like. Again, I'd like it in a league setting when competing against other people, because you have to mentally back off. You have to slow down to go fast. And if you were just in an open session, it would have been dive bombs into every corner, never being able to catch anybody. You know, if you didn't all die immediately, you then would have, you know, just not had the momentum to have a good time, kind of. Yeah. You know, it'd be five laps caution, or 80 lap race up.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think people that are mutually familiar with the car, that can mutually respect each other and kind of learn together, so to speak, that's going to be the ideal for this car on iRacing. As far as ovals go, I haven't run it on road races for a while, so that's going to be interesting to think of. But I think really, back in the first of the year, iRacing made this oval friendly, this car, which is their car. But I mean, honestly, I think we can all agree that has been lying dormant until the month of May, because probably more people, if we were to get the numbers on this, more people participated in that car in May at this track at Indianapolis than everybody combined probably from January up until end of April. I mean, I would dare say I'm correct on that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
No, you could say from 3 days after the launch of the car until now, we had more people race the car for the majors 500 than that whole year.
That's an excellent point. I think this is where the car has probably peaked, is with this type of racing. I know Bradley has commented in the past that it's not a car that he even
owns. I'm not interested in it. No, I don't.
I don't know what it would probably take everybody else buying into it to maybe get him interested in it.
No, it's like the F1 car. I mean,
He's sitting there with his arms folded, all cranky. Like, just the fact we're talking about some fake car, he's just sitting there.
I came to the sim to sim IndyCar, not some bastard.
It's not a... The point... Did you not hear...
No, I heard the whole conversation.
No, I think it is wonderful that this is our car, because
often do you fucking race it?
A lot in May of 2023.
How often will you race it after May? Till next May?
Maybe,
never.
Maybe.
Never. It's our car. Come on now. You wouldn't take to the streets for this goddamn car.
I took to the virtual streets. I mean, maybe
if the IndyCar, it's like that meme of the guy with the girlfriend looking back at the other girl. If the IndyCar came back, you'd fucking come back to her.
Oh, I'd dump the IR01 in a heartbeat if we got exclusivity rights back.
But, oh yeah, I'd leave it on the kill. Oh yeah,
but
leave
it. But we're a battered sim racing base. We've got Le Mans taken from us. We got the IndyCar taken from us.
Donald Trump.
I'm making hand movements.
Making his hand gestures.
We got these things taken from us, so that means I'm romanticizing this car. Anybody that's listened to the last month of our show knows that I'm definitely romanticizing.
But he's got his eye on the original girl. He's still heartbroken.
I mean, I love IndyCar. We've talked about that, but yes, I think it was a successful event. I think it was entertaining.
Oh, no doubt, so it was successful.
I wished it well, and I think it turned out well. So I'm really just interested in what the future is of it, and I think that's going to be up in the air. But I think it's a good thing to focus on that. With you here, Miles, I want to pivot away a bit from this particular car as we kind of wrap that up. And we'll keep an eye on how things go with it. But I want to talk some about, obviously, you're in software engineering. I know in sim racing, number one, you're fast as hell. So I really want to know the secrets to that. I would love to understand how one becomes incredibly fast at iRacing. I wish there were like a step-by-step recipe guide to it. But also, I know that you've done some setup making or setup tweaking. I don't know what the fair way to say it is, but you, I think we all ran your setup for the Dallara IR01. So where does, is there a crossover there? Are you good at one because of the other? Does your education lend you to this? I know you were involved in real motorsport. I'm throwing a lot out there. I'm throwing a lot of stuff at the wall. If you can bring it all together, please do, because I feel like whatever it is, you've got something. You're incredibly fast on iRacing.
Well, I'll answer one part. Does the degree help? No, in no way, no. Other than the fact that I work from home.
So you don't have any unlocked secrets.
Okay, good.
Like at 5 o'clock, I log out of my computer and get on the sim. Okay. And like the funnier part is I don't even like race that much on iRacing. If you go look at my account, it's like spurts of like a month that I'll actually drive. And the rest of the time I'm usually just testing. Yeah. How am I fast? I don't know. I look at the squiggly lines. We're all about this.
Don't give away the secret sauce.
I want the secret sauce. Put it in a bottle and slap a label on it.
It's earned, not given.
I will say 95% of sim racers try to go too fast. That's like the biggest problem in general is everybody drives GT3 cars, GTE cars, things that you can just hammer down to the apex. And or actually the MX5 Cup car being the first car you drive is the worst car you could ever drive, because the ABS, just you hit the brakes and you figure it out by the time you get to the apex, and then you get back on the throttle and go. For, again, the 95th percentile, the top 5% are doing it right. But, you know, that's 200 people or something. And it's if you can go and learn one of the dumb cars, like the Cadillac, if you can go and be within a second of world record in the Cadillac, you can drive anything. Oh. You just have to go drive it like the Cadillac. Like even a Formula 4 car, brake at the 3 marker, roll off the brake before you turn in, a little bit of maintenance throttle through it, through the center, throttle on by apex and off, and you're golden. So the same things are fast in every car. The alien speed, the last 0.01% is the dumb shit. Like gas and brake at the same time. That was the IndyCar trick way back when. To not lock the rears, you tap the gas as you went into the corner, and then you'd roll off and go roll back to the throttle. Actually, a lot of the tricks are gone. When I look at like VRS, squiggly lines, their data traces, like most of the time, the guys that are faster than me are just, they know they drive that car exclusively. That's the first, if you want to be fast in any car, drive it exclusively.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's why I'm just like kind of okay. And
Ty, these guys need to hear that. Do you guys hear that?
Why do you want me to hear that, Rob?
Oh, because you guys are sluts. That's why.
What do you do? We're going through a hoe phase, Rob. Excuse me.
Yeah, I like it all. I want to be inside all these cars.
We're going through an iRacing hoe
phase. Tyler doesn't drive the same car in back-to-back events.
I don't.
Not even the same manufacturer.
I don't. I like to try different clothes. Diversity, on, Rob. Rob, you're going against diversity. Yeah. You're on the wrong side of history, my friend. Yeah. Quiet, Rob.
Takes a sip of his drink. Fucking pretentious bastard.
Rob, you uncultured fuck. Miles, please continue.
Yeah, I've lost my train of thought.
driving something exclusively makes you better at that thing. It makes great logical sense, but I like driving lots of things, but I do understand what you're saying.
No, I own every car because I want to drive all of them. I never actually end up racing them. That's the one thing. So, like I said, I don't race official a lot. I like to have like one league that I'm doing per month. You know, one night of the week, I want to go race a league and I race with y'all.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
I do the SCCA stuff on Tuesday nights now. Majors, God, that's so much work.
Yeah.
It's about like official racing.
Yeah.
You know, it's the issue when you're, so I'm not fast. Or I'm not an A.
Yeah, you're fast.
But the problem is I always want to win.
Yeah.
Like if I win, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I don't actually care who I beat. As long as I win, I'm happy. I'm a bit of a narcissist. but like if I go run GT3, even though I'm 4,700, 4,600 I rating, I'm going to be stuck with the Casey Kerwins of the world. And I'm just going to look at their laptops and go, like, I look at their stat data traces. Mm. And I was like, okay, you drove it in 50 feet deeper and got on the gas 10 feet earlier, and you're 1.5 seconds faster than me. How hell am I going to go? Like, I'm doing what I feel. I drive to the limits that I feel are correct. Mm-hmm. And that's just not alien pace. So to loop in something else you mentioned. So yeah, I've done, on the driving side, I've done autocross for, when I start doing that, when I bought the Mustang, 2015, May of 2015. Mm-hmm. So I've run autocross. I stopped here recently just cause I was spending way too much money, driving around parking lots with cones. I've since purchased a Elan NPO1 with some friends, and we go WRL racing with it.
Yeah.
I'm designated test driver as well as radio guy and race strategist.
There we go.
So I get to sit on the radio and talk for 8 hours and have no voice at the end of the weekend. But it's tons of fun. And the crossover, a lot of people talk about drivers crossing over.
Mm-hmm.
So like the first time I ever put a wrench on a race car, which was Road Atlanta, November of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Thursday before the LSU Alabama game. I knew what the things did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge advantage. So I don't do this professionally. I play race car engineer on the weekends.
Right, right.
So as you mentioned at the open, I went to the University of Alabama, graduated in 2014. And there was one day, there was a class I was taking. It was ethics and computer science.
Mm.
I was taking it to get an A. My entire reasoning was my professor said this professor was fun and nice. And, you know, it was not, if you're not the hardest class in the world, if you had any common sense, you could do good in this crap. And at that point I needed it because computer science at the University of Alabama has like a 40% pass rate your junior year. Like there was a weed out class that you had to be in it in the right semester. And I wasn't the first semester. And I'm taking this class, and I used it as my lunch break. Basically I'd go get a Reuben sandwich from Boar's Head, walk into the class halfway through the first one and say for the second half of the first class and the first half of my class. One day I walk in and the professor's up there. She's like, "Do I look frazzled today?" I go, "No. What's up?" And she goes, "My husband's in Wisconsin racing cars." And I just go, "Your husband's in the SCCA runoffs. What class?"
Mm.
And she's like, "You know what that is? Yeah, I'm a member." Like,
yeah.
I know. Okay, who, what? So that's my friend Leslie Dixon, and I'm now friends with her and Brandon, and I've spent the last 8 years bounding around the country, working on his race cars. And he's one of the people, him and his best friend, who's now become one of my best friends. We pulled our money together and bought the lawn. But so their whole thing was he's a computer science professor. Ren, our friend, was a ME from, he went to Alabama and then went to UVA, and Brandon's been racing since like 1991, 92, and you know, did Formula Ford for all those years and had some success, you know, won some SCCA nationals, raced Michael Andretti, bunch of people you'd know, and you know, kind of quit and decided he wanted to go build his own airplane. So they went and built their own airplane. And then SCCA created the class Formula 1000. They're like, "All right, we need to build a race car." So they partnered with a guy out of Indianapolis, Steve Lathrop, who builds the Citation race cars, and built the Citation F1000. And actually does his Brandon's chassis design, which is an amalgam of Lathrop's design and his own design, put together with extra bars and placements and whatever, is now like the basis of all of the new Citations that are being built. So all that to say, I walked up to him and was like, "I understand what crossweight edge is. I understand what camber is. Like, I'm not a professionally trained engineer, but I can help. I know where the timing and scoring is. If you need me to like go pick up results, I know where to go. And he's like, perfect. You know, and we went to that Thursday was the test day for the American Road Race of Champions, which is the regional level kind of big event at Road Atlanta. And we went over there with a brand new car build. This was the Citation F2000, the first one of Brandon's design. And I tell this story every time because it is funny, but all my friends have heard it about four times. It was rainy, nasty, misty Seattle weather bullshit. Mm. And we went over, we left Tuscaloosa at like 8 o'clock at night, got to Road Atlanta at 1 a.m, slept from 1 to 6 till the gates open, pulled in with the gates, unloaded the car, put dry tires on it. It was not raining at this point, but it rained overnight. So he's like, okay, points to me, go out on pit lane and see if the track's dry. So I walk out on pit lane. Spec Miata is out, or it was either Spec Miata or STU. Spec Miata were on the track. And they go by and it's like, hey, it's dry. You know, the asphalt's dark. There's no rooster tails. I can't tell what tires are on, but it's dry. We should go out there. Mm. You know, dry tires. We're here testing. We don't need the test rain set up. We need to go out on dry tires. So next session up, we go out there. I go to the pit wall. I'm looking. I'm watching the hill at turn 11. Comes up. First of all, he was the first one out. And he was the last one to come around. And as he crests the hill, there's a 12-foot rooster tail behind the car. Because, like, of course there's no rooster tails behind Spec Miata. It's Spec Miata. There's no aero anything on those cars. He's just like, he runs the full session because he's like, I paid my money. I'm getting my track time.
Yeah.
And he comes in and I go, oh, okay, I understand what a racetrack is now. So, like, now you get to this point and you, like, when ARCA ran at Daytona, under the lights, and it had rained, and the announcer's like, the track is dry. I don't know why they're still on wet. I'm just looking at it going, that track's not dry. That is wet. That you see that strip on pit road, that's dry. The rest of the track is wet. So telling that story just to say the crossover, I think we're going to see a lot more people in engineering roles that learn what to do in iRacing. Biggest problem is if you walked up to somebody and say, I learned how to set up cars on a simulator, they're going to, you know, go away.
Yeah.
But y'all, it works. The alien setups, like the setups that are the Coke series setups or the Porsche eSports Cup, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Those numbers are not going to work, but if you go up on the right front toe, or a camber, if you go more negative, your inside is going to wear more and you're going to pick up grip. If you going down on front air pressures and up on the rear still makes the car looser. If you more front wing is more front downforce, unless you don't have a wicker on the front wing, then it stalls out. You know, it's a lot of the stuff that you learn to do building setups in iRacing actually does transfer over. You don't actually learn how to like measure anything because there are a lot of measurements that you get on. There are a lot of measurements in iRacing you just can't do in real life. Like accurate caster is really kind of hard. It's hard to set that at the racetrack. And here it's like, oh, it's 6.7. It says it right there. Mm. And then there's a lot of things that you know in real life that they just don't give you in iRacing. Like, I don't know what the wheel rate on any of these. Yeah, I can go calculate it. I can go look and see, you know, this much force moved at 1 inch. That means that the wheel rate is 1.2 instead of 1.0 to set spring rate. But like, you basically just load the baseline setup and go, close enough. And what I needed to do, more front grip. Okay, softer front springs. All right, what do I need? Need to move a little bit more on throttle. All right, stiffer rear springs.
Well, I've seen, we talked about this, it's been quite a while, but I've seen actual setup engineers for real racing or engineers for real racing offer services to both, to sim and real. So, but the setup making is something that's challenging. And I think that's a whole episode for us to do at some point, which is how to make the setups, how to get good at it. Because there's a whole economy of it in sim racing and iRacing of monthly. I mean, it's basically a Netflix of sim racing. You know, that's what we see a lot. I mean, we've all, at least I have my setup subscription. At one time I had two. So that's a whole different, a whole unique economy on iRacing. But I do want to wrap up. Miles, I want to thank you so much for joining us here for the first half of the show and really for being a highlight reel, basically. You were a highlight reel of iRacing for a week of a huge event and really a prototype event. I think that was the big interesting thing. It was a major unknown. And one, you mastered it, and two, you were part of probably one of the more close finishes that any sim racer has seen in quite some time. So I appreciate you joining us for your perspectives both in the sim with this specific interesting car in the month of May and also from the real track. And hope you'll join us again soon to dive even deeper into setups and who knows what. I know we've got a lot more to go into.
Oh, I mean, I'm more than happy to come back. If you need to get I've got dirt on IndyCar teams.
Oh, boy.
I can talk about IMSA.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Anytime you need a strong opinion on anything, Tom, I'm more than happy to provide mine. So,
well, you'll be back. We'll have you back certainly this summer. Miles Crabb, one of our sim racing drivers who got a lot of attention this week in the wider iRacing world. Thanks, Miles. We'll be right back on Into the Apex.
Don't go anywhere. More Into the Apex is coming up.
Tired of getting caught up in the mayhem of Turn 1? So are we. Although we can't protect you from disasters in iRacing, we can protect you and your family from mayhem on the road or at home. The Allstate Javicki Agency proudly protects families in Ohio and Pennsylvania. Give John a call today at 412-561-6239. Mention Mad Sim Racing or Into the Apex when calling to receive a gift card with a qualified quote. No purchase necessary. Into the Apex is going back on the road in 2023, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Pro Kart Concepts. Pro Kart Concepts provides top-tier carts, parts, and consumables to the tri-state area and support based out of the Pittsburgh International Raceway. If there's anyone that can get you set in the world of karting, it's Eric and Dan with PKC. Visit ProKartConcepts.com for more information. This episode is brought to you by the racing fans at Great Hire HR. Whether you're hiring one employee or 100, Great Hire will let you keep doing what is important, running your business. For more information, visit GreatHireHR.com. You've just achieved your greatest accomplishment as a sim racer. Now what? Don't let it become just another stat you never see. Alien Awards is a service run by and for sim racers, creating clearly printed plaques on solid surfaces, something you can display proudly to mark a major victory and show off your team and sponsors. Whether you're an individual driver looking to create a memory or a league owner looking to take your season to the next level, Alien Awards can help. These are quality awards I know because I've won one. There are no setup or design fees, and shipping in the U.S. is free. Take your sim racing career to new heights. Visit alienawards.net. That's alienawards.net. This episode of Into the Apex is brought to you by our partners at Track Racer. Since 2008, Track Racer has been designing and pioneering best value, high-end gaming platforms and accessories. Track Racer products are made from the highest quality materials that offer unsurpassed durability. Track Racer is supported by recognizable names such as Haley Deegan, Ross Chastain, Alex Pillow, and Alpine F1 Team. Check them out through the link on our website, IntoTheApex.com, and support the show.
This is Into the Apex Motorsport Podcast Network.
We're back on Into the Apex. Thanks to Miles Crabb for joining us on the first half, doing a pretty deep dive there into the DeLorme IR01 and the world of real amateur racing.
And Bradley has headed out of the main studio. Rob has packed it in for the night because, indeed, the end of the Apex foursome is going to be running the Nürburgring 24 on iRacing just this next day. We're only hours away from it. So half of our guys are going to get their rest and be ready to focus on this major sim race event of the year. Myself, Tyler, and Patrick Stein pops into the remote studio to talk a little bit about the hottest topic of the day. And nobody better than Patrick, a pure-blooded American, Corvette and Cadillac to the bone. And what did we get today, only hours ago, that's now probably the hottest topic in the sim racing world at this point in time? And that is the teaser that iRacing official social media dropped just a bit ago from the Detroit Street Course, as it stands on iRacing. It's not going to be the same one this year in real life. But all we got were sounds. We got sounds with just a kind of camera-only view front and back. But that's all we needed. and it's still fucking ridiculous to me that so many... I was reading comments on this, and some people were like, it's a Trans Am car? It's a Trans Am car? It's obviously the Cadillac GTP is coming on iRacing. It's ready. It's done.
Yeah.
Because... If the sound wasn't enough, which it is, the sound is enough. We all know that sound. That's the selling point of the car. The sound is, hands down.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But it's Chevy, it's General Motors, it's Cadillac, it's all that company. And what is their flagship event that they get? It's Detroit. It's where they're based. Yeah. So the fact that it's that sound at that course in this video... Case is obviously closed, and I think most people get that, but I'm still seeing some people trying to speculate that it's something else. It's obviously not.
Some people are saying you're saying Trans Am car.
I read more than one comment that it was that they thought it was Trans Am's coming. So I don't know. I don't watch that. I've not given that much time, to be fair. But
I don't think Trans Am's have enough of a a fan base to really generate, scanning the car and doing all that.
Well, to date, obviously it hasn't. But this is obviously the Cadillac GTP. That's what we're getting. We thought we would get maybe that or the Porsche. I think a lot of people hoped it would be the Cadillac because of its unique sound. And it's coming. And right now we stand in week 9. So week 13 will drop early June, which should be before the official IMSA Watkins Glen 6. So if we are correct in assuming that the car is ready, it's being teased so many weeks early, then we should be correct in assuming that we're going to get it in the next build, which would presumably make that a car that is available for the Watkins Glen 6 as the first IMSA special event. So that raises the question. And Patrick, I think you're the right person to raise this question with, because I know, I know this about you, Patrick. You're a careful sim racer. I know you to not get too far over your head, and I've always kind of done the same, but I tend to sometimes send it, but I know that you're very careful.
Yeah.
But I know you love the Cadillac. So I know that you, myself, Bradley, Rob, none of our group of the podcast have run the GTP LMDH BMW since it came out in any kind of official major event. We're really slow working ourselves there.
Yeah.
We said the Watkins Glen 6 is where we were going to do the BMW. And now, and I don't know if you were with us on that or not. You could probably say right now.
No,
you weren't.
I wasn't.
Yeah. So no. So you didn't feel quite ready for that car.
No, I was more planning an LMP2.
So yeah, LMP2 is where we peak.
Yeah.
But now seeing this teaser today, Patrick, with the Cadillac, listening to it closely. Perhaps so much that you're a little bit deaf right now. You let the blood flow a little bit.
A little bit? Jesus Christ, that's an understatement.
Do you consider driving that for the Watkins Glen 6, whether you live or die?
Oh, 100%. Full send. I'm going for it.
So it's the brand and the experience.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Why not? I bet you a lot of other people are going to be doing it too, but who cares?
That's the question right there. That's the topic. Is just as the BMW maybe becomes something that people adjust to, and that LMDH GTP class, maybe it starts to balance out, because I feel like maybe in Daytona it had the novelty to it. And in, yeah. in Sebring, it starts to die down. Well, then we go to the Watkins Glen special event,
yeah.
and you add a Cadillac in there, and you, I assume, take away a GT3 car of some sort, I assume.
Right.
The novelty comes right back in there. And I think it's good to have selection. I mean, the pinnacle of LMP1 was a selection of one out of two, the Audi or the Porsche.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of assumption that the Porsche GTP is going to come in there. And I mean, wouldn't it be outstanding to have so many more? The Peugeot, the Ferrari, the Lamborghini when it comes out, the Vanwall. There it is. The Toyota.
The Acura.
Yeah. Glickenhaus. Let's go into WEC now.
Let's not go to Glickenhaus.
It's American, Patrick. Even though he's an asshole to sim racing,
he's a fucking prick.
He was a prick to sim racers. I will say that. Yeah. And to IMSA, by the way.
Well, yeah.
So many, but I mean, it's glorious to see so many options. And in iRacing, the most options we get in that respect are the GT3s.
Yeah,
we just did the episode. It's like a box of chocolates. What flavor do you want? Really, yeah. You get that right now just in GT3. The rest, it's very much. It's slim pickings, if right. no pickings at all in the case of GTPs to date.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we need to have some variety, and I know that they're going to release the LMP3 coming up, and that's going away from the main IMSA series. Yeah. It's going to the VP series, I guess, next year.
Yeah, I think it would be appropriate. So yes, that's another bit of news in the past few weeks. iRacing confirmed, obviously, that the LMP3 is coming. At this point, if you ask me, even if it comes out this year and there are still 2023 IMSA races to go, special events, don't modify the listing. Don't add the LMP3 to, you know, Petit Le Mans or what have you, because at this point, we know in real life it's going. So just keep it to its own thing. Leagues can use it. Official session of some sort, make a VP, you know,
yeah,
you know, GT4 and LMP3.
Yeah, just do what's going to start in 2024.
Yeah, I agree, because there are only two more Endurance Cup events left. So,
yeah,
you know, Prototype Challenge and VP or whatever you might be, just stick it to that in the sim. Let's not try to replicate what has been the Endurance Cup to date. With the LMP3s thrown in with the P2s, GTPs, GT3, GTD Pro, and GTD Class. I think that's fair.
Now, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
When is the Majors 24?
I can confirm that, but I believe it's early June. And, Patrick, that is...
Is that season three?
I think... So we talk about the majors here. We just got done talking about the Speedway 500 from the majors, and they are trendsetters where iRacing loses exclusivity to motorsport games. I mean, that's exactly. been our topic for a while. Mm-hmm. And the Majors 24 is obviously what's become the broad sim racing world on iRacing's Le Mans 24 replacement. But I believe that event is going to be in early June, and I bet you that as much as it's going to be the end of May, first weekend of June. Week 13 is after that, so Majors 24.
Yeah,
Majors 24 competitors. I'm going to say with 99.9% certainty, you're not going to get. It's not even going to be available, the Cadillac, if it comes out in the week 13. But I'll say this as well: if I know the majors and I know how they set plans and stick to those plans no matter what, if it came out the week before, I don't think they would change. The lineup. It just is what it is. When they make the plan is made.
Yeah, that's true. I was wishful thinking because I know we've internally have discussed our plans for the 24 of the French countryside, as I like to call it.
Yeah. Well, what if iRacing does, what was it, the VRS Global Endurance or something?
That would presumably
have the Cadillac with the BMW.
There's no option now. Now just thinking about it though.
So that should go to a series of tracks, including Le Mans, if they slip it in there again, correct?
Right. But here's the thing that I struggle with it.
Yeah.
The Majors 24 is doing LMDH. LMP2 in GT3.
GT3, yes. They're bringing on the future of WEC.
Yeah, a future, you know, what's coming next year.
Yeah.
Now, with the VRS global 24-hour, whatever the hell they call it, that's the last of real hurrah for GTE.
I think if they stick with it, I think that will be correct. That's a car that I haven't driven in a year or more right now, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and
I've not driven it. It's gone. I mean, it's over. I'm sorry. I hate to say it, because we all existed, and any longtime iRacer existed in a time where that was it.
Yeah, that was the creme de la creme with GT racing.
You know what we got to do? We got to let it go.
Now, do we let it go as of like right now, or do we want to do one last hurrah?
I think you got to let it go.
I have an idea though.
Okay.
So for the VRS version of the 24 Hours of the French Countryside,
what iRacing will make as the kind of the wink version?
Yeah, the wink, wink, nudge, yeah. Nudge.
You want the Corvette? That's what you're thinking, right?
No, not for Le Mans. No.
No?
I'm thinking for the Le Mans doing the Cadillac.
Okay.
Now.
Well, that's very forward thinking then. That's not looking to the past then. That's not where I thought you were going with that.
No, but there's a second part to it, because you said it's like they do what, four something races?
Other tracks. There should be other tracks with it. I don't know what they would be at this point, but I know they slipped Le Mans in with a few other.
Like, I think Spa was on there last year.
I believe you're right, yeah.
I would be willing to do a 24-hour in a GTE as a last hurrah at Spa or Silverstone, whatever it may be, whatever the options are.
I think I scratched the Porsche, BMW, Ferrari itch in GT3, but like I just alluded to, what I thought you were getting at, the itch that we don't get to scratch outside of GTE is the Corvette. And that's the only place to kind of get that car. So the thing I miss probably is there's no Corvette. We got a Corvette and we only got to enjoy it really in earnest for so long. And I do miss that Corvette. It's a nice looking car. It drives well.
Yeah.
It sounds good. It sounds incredible in real life, even now in the GTD, you know, pro or whatever class. It's and then we got the GT3 coming, and you can only assume that iRacing will get that to us at some point, right?
Yeah. I mean, the new GT3 is coming out next year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I would say, it is.
I would say by the beginning of 2024, iRacing will have that new GT3 Corvette.
Yeah, I would say.
I think that's a safe assumption, it doesn't even have to be the Corvette. I think we have to do one last hurrah with the GTE. I think we have to.
I would pick the Corvette, perhaps. I would love to see iRacing drop that very soon, like they did the BMW GT3, a year plus in advance.
Prototype version.
Yeah, that's exactly what we got. We as sim racers were so familiar with that BMW GT3. Before it actually came out. I mean, we all saw it at Petit Le Mans in 2021.
Yeah.
A prototype of it as they were doing a photo shoot. And it felt so familiar because just about a year before, for a Christmas gift from iRacing, we got that car and got to get familiar with it. And they tweaked it as it was developed in real life. But man, it felt like a prototype iRacing custom car for so long until we actually got to see it come to existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think GTE, we have to have one last bang.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I think a lot of longtime road racing iRacers feel that sentiment.
Yeah.
Because it's a different car. It's I don't know. It's like a super fast, challenging Porsche Cup. I mean, you can lock it up. It's maybe a little less forgiving, and it takes a little bit more talent, but they've obviously not kept up the tire development like they have in GT3s, the tire model and stuff like that. But
yeah,
otherwise you can still practice and understand that car and understand how to compete in it and drive it.
They still have the European endurance.
They do,
and series.
That's really ultimately.
That's it.
Ultimately, that's where you can scratch that itch at this point.
And you know, that's limited. You know, I think that runs every two hours or whatever.
Yeah, and if I'm being honest, I skip out on that car. If I run that series, I'm going to run the LMP2 or the BMW GTP LMDH because those are cars that I know long term I need to practice with.
Yeah,
because when I run in these sessions, I'm not really getting sentimental. I'm getting, if I'm going to run a race, I'm thinking, what's the next special event? Am I driving a prototype? Then I want to get seat time in a prototype. Am I driving a GT3? Then I'm going to run IMSA and get seat time in a GT3, regardless of the track. That's my mindset when I get into these official races. I'm jumping into official races, generally speaking, based on what my next special event is and what I need to prep myself and get comfortable with. I feel like that keeps me connected to what I'm doing in the future and where the stakes are. I don't want to let you guys down, basically.
But yeah, even if it's not like the exact same track, you want to get in the...
You want to get to know how the
car...
Yeah, you want to get to know how that car feels. Mm-hmm. If it's been a while since you drove it, if you've decided a month in advance that your endurance team is going to run a Mercedes GT3, say at the Spa 24, then you're going to want to pick that car exclusively for a good many weeks or a month before that event and just become an expert in that car if you're really wanting to immerse yourself into what you've got coming up.
Yeah. You just get the reps in.
Yeah.
Wherever it may be.
That's exactly right. And that's how we're athletes. We get reps in.
I do have to say we kind of are athletes. I messed up my back.
Yeah,
so I had to go to a chiropractor.
From racing.
I don't know if it's really from racing, but it affects my racing. So
it does, yeah. Well, I mean, I've been getting massages, and my shoulders have been particularly bad, and I'm pretty sure that it's from direct drive steering wheel. My massage, what do you say, masseuse or massage therapist? Massage therapist sounds more medical, so I'm going to say that. My regularly scheduled massage therapist said that your shoulders and back, it's like you've really been grabbing onto something. And I did not say, although I thought, I've been grabbing onto that Fanatec CSLDD, God damn it.
They wouldn't know what the fuck.
Yeah, so I've been driving my steering wheel. I've been racing a lot. But I mean, is that what it probably was? Yeah, so... There you go, folks. Get a massage. It'll make you a better sim racer.
But don't get the Robert Kraft kind.
No, don't do that. So you went to a chiropractor.
Yeah.
Did your sim racing improve afterwards?
I've only gone once.
Okay. What about a massage? I've never gone to a chiropractor, but I've gotten several massages, including I got one the week of the Daytona 24 in iRacing to kind of loosen up. I'm not joking. I'm not fucking with you. I really did do that.
I've never done that.
You've never had a massage?
Not a professional one, no.
I have not a professional one, so...
Like, I've had like a girlfriend give me one.
Okay, gotcha. So, amateur.
Yeah, amateur, but nothing like...
You need to book one, because I got one in December. I mean, I'm a rookie too, Patrick. Just go to a reputable place. I know you're thinking what I thought.
No, I'm not thinking that. I'm just thinking, I don't know if there's any places like that unless they just cater to all females. And it's like, I'm going to walk in there.
They don't cater to all females. No,
you went with your girlfriend, though.
No, I didn't. She told me to go.
That's almost the same thing.
No, it's not. I went by myself. I booked it.
But she told you to go.
Well,
she's been there before, I bet.
No. I was like, oh, you're really tight. You need a massage. And the more I think about it, I'm like, yeah, I am really tight, and maybe I do. So I just did it. I did it, and it changed my world. I felt so different and loose, and I honestly, My back hurts when I get on my rig. I mean, I do have troubles from, I think, I mean, it sounds, maybe it's lame, but I think the direct, since I got into direct drive wheel and, you know, especially endurance events, I think it does affect my shoulders. My shoulder locks up. And
I think on a more serious note, like rigs are just very, chairs are just very stiff and rigid.
Yeah, I would agree. They're not the most comfortable things, especially in endurance. I mean, you're sitting there for 2 hours. If you do three stints, I mean, I get to hurting, and I know we've talked about that before. I don't want to get into it too much again, but I vote for you trying to loosen up a little bit. I think it would help. I would help overall the racing.
That maybe that's something I will have to do some research into. Yeah. It's kind of late for Nürburgring. Yeah. But.
Oh yes, it certainly is. But hey, I would be interested to hear your conclusions compared to mine. But anyhow, I want to wrap up. We're excited about the Cadillac. I mean, we know that's what's coming, but hopefully some other surprises. iRacing is always being sly and surprising, but they're keeping us on our toes, and ultimately they're giving us, for the most part, what we're looking for. The Cadillac is something that, even from the DPI era, the sound has been similar, and I think it's really kind of raise the hair on the back of motorsport fans' necks. It's really what stands out to people when they go to IMSA races and now WEC races. So to finally get that in the sim, I mean, there's no question it's going to be a popular car. So I know, Patrick, the blood's been flowing for you all day since we got that teaser video.
Oh man, basically, I can't fucking wait.
Oh yeah, the memes that I have been seeing all day within our community have been, oh my God, it's finally happening. So I think if there's a sentiment to this news today on a quiet Friday, that's pretty big news, if you ask me.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. I didn't think it would happen this quick.
Yeah. That's pretty significant news in the iRacing world because you know they're not going to rush something. They're going to get it right. So we're going to get a good money's worth addition of this car. It sounds beautiful. So everybody, we'll see you next week. The month of May continues. We've got, actually, we'll be in the remote studio next week. And then beyond that, the week after, we will be on the ground in Speedway, Indiana, for the first road show of the summer for the 107th running of the Indianapolis 500 at Daredevil Brewery on Saturday afternoon, the day before the Indy 500. We've got a hell of a road show coming up this summer. We're going to be back-to-back VIR for the SRO, followed by Watkins Glen camping for IMSA, followed by Mid-Ohio camping for IndyCar. In between, we're going to go to Pittsburgh for some karting with Patrick, Rob, and myself and Bradley. That's going to be interesting. The whole crew come into Pittsburgh for some karting, some beverages, and some good camaraderie, and the road show's traveling for that one. And we're still piecing together now a trip to outside Charlotte Motor Speedway, likely in June, for some SCCA Autocross Nationals with some of our friends from Asheville, North Carolina. So we've got a roadshow coming together for that to be determined, as well as at some point in the coming months, Apex Racing Labs, which is a sim racing mobile center based out of Raleigh, North Carolina, announced just today that they have signed a lease for a brick and mortar sim racing center in Cary, North Carolina, which is just outside of Raleigh. And we've already gotten into talks with them to take the roadshow there for their opening of that sim racing center. So a lot of stuff coming together. Perhaps a trip back to Nashville. Who knows? But we've got quite a marathon coming up June and July. So stay tuned for that. Next week, back in the studio, the whole crew. Nürburgring's coming up. We might debrief on that, do a little talking on that. And we'll see what other news comes up in the iRacing, sim racing, real racing world. Until then, into the Apex, intotheapex.com. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show, tuning in, and being part of the family. Cheers, everybody. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Into the Apex from Mad Sim Racing Media. Check out the show's upcoming road trips and join the community at intotheapex.com.